Chapter 3. There was the alderman and William Stickers and an old woman in a long dress and a hat covered in fruit, and some small children running on ahead, and dozens, hundreds of others. They didn't lurch, they didn't ooze any green, they just looked grey and very slightly out of focus. You notice things when you're terrified. Little details grow bigger. He realised there were differences among the dead. Mr. Vicenti had looked almost, well, alive. William Stickers was slightly more colourless. The alderman was definitely transparent around the edges. But many of the others, in Victorian clothes and odd assortments of coats and breeches from earlier ages, were almost completely without colour and almost without substance, so that they were little more than shaped air, but air that walked. It wasn't that they had faded. It was just that they were further away, in some strange direction that had nothing to do with the normal three. Wobbler and the other two were still staring at him.
"Johnny, you all right?" said Wobbler.
Johnny remembered a piece about overpopulation in a school geography book. For everyone who was alive today, it said, there were 20 historical people, all the way back to when people had only just become people. Or, to put it another way, behind every living person were 20 dead ones. Quite a lot of them were behind Wobbler. Johnny didn't feel it would be a good idea to point this out, though.
"It's gone all cold," said Big Mac. "We ought to be getting back," said Wobbler, his voice shaking. I ought to be doing my homework."
Which showed he was frightened. It'd take zombies to make Wobbler prefer to do homework.
"You can't see them, can you?" said Johnny. "They're all around us, but you can't see them."
"The living can't generally see the dead," said Mr. Vicenti. "It's for their own good, I expect."
The three boys had drawn closer together.
"Come on, stop mucking about," said Big Mac. "Huh," said Wobbler. "He's just trying to spook us. Huh. Like dead man's hand at parties. Huh. Well, it's not working. I'm off home. Come on, you lot."
He turned and walked a few steps.
"Hang on," said Yolas. "There's something odd."
He looked around at the empty cemetery. The rook had flown away, unless it was a crow.
"Something odd," he mumbled.
"Look," said Johnny. "They're here. They're all around us."
"I'll tell my mum of you," said Wobbler. "This is practising being satanic again."
"John Maxwell," boomed the alderman. "We must talk to you."
"That's right," shouted William Stickers. "This is important."
"What about?" said Johnny. He was balancing on his fear, and he felt oddly calm. The funny thing was, when you were on top of your fear, you were a little bit taller.
"This,"
said William Stickers, waving the newspaper. Wobbler gasped. There was a rolled-up newspaper floating in the air.
"Poltergeist activity," he said.
He waved a shaking finger at Johnny.
You get that around adolescence. I read something in a magazine. Saucepans flying through the air and stuff. His head'll spin round in a minute."
"What is the fat boy talking about?"
said the alderman.
"And what is dead man's hand?" said Mr. Vicenti.
"There's probably a scientific explanation," said Yolas, as the newspaper fluttered through the air.
"What?" said Big Mac.
I'm trying to think of one. It's holding itself open."
William Stickers opened the paper.
"It's probably just a freak wind,"
said Yolas, backing away.
"I can't feel any wind."
"That's why it's freaky."
"What are you going to do?"
the alderman demanded.
"Excuse me, but this dead man's hand, what is it?"
"Will everyone shut up?"
said Johnny. Even the dead obeyed.
"Right," he said, settling down a bit. Look, you lot, these people want to talk to us. Me, anyway."
Yolas, Wobbler and Big Mac were staring intently at the newspaper. It hung, motionless, more than a metre above the ground.
"Are they the breath impaired?" said Wobbler.
"Don't be daft. That sounds like asthma," said Yolas.
"Come on. If you mean it, say it. Come right out with it. Are they..."
He looked around at the darkening landscape and hesitated.
Post-senior citizens?"
Are they lurching?
Said Wobbler. Now he and the other two were so close that they looked like one very wide person with six legs.
You didn't tell us about this, said the alderman.
This what? Said Johnny.
In the newspaper. Well, it is called a newspaper, but it has pictures of women in the altogether, which may well be seen by respectable married women and young children.
William Stickers was, with great effort, holding the paper open at the entertainment section. Johnny craned to read it. There was a rather poor photo of a couple of girls at Blackberry Swimming Pool and Leisure Centre.
They've got swimsuits on, he said.
Swimming suits? But I can see almost all of their legs, the alderman roared. Nothing wrong with that at all, snapped the elderly woman in the huge fruity hat. Healthy bodies enjoying calisthenics in the God-given sunlight, and very practical clothing, I may say.
Practical, madam? I dread to think for what?
Mr. Vicente leaned towards Johnny.
The lady in the hat is Mrs. Sylvia Liberty, he whispered. Died 1914. Tireless suffragette.
Suffragette? Said Johnny.
Don't they teach you that sort of thing now? They campaigned for votes for women. They used to chain themselves to railings and chuck eggs at policemen and throw themselves under the Prince of Wales horse on Derby days.
Wow.
But Mrs. Liberty got the instructions wrong and threw herself under the Prince of Wales.
What?
Killed outright, said Mr. Vicente.
He clicked his disapproval.
He was a very heavy man, I believe.
When you two have ceased this bourgeois arguing, shouted William Stickers, perhaps we can get back to important matters.
He rustled the paper. Wobbler blinked.
It says in this newspaper, said William Stickers, that the cemetery is going to be closed, going to be built on. Do you know about it?
Didn't you know?
Was anyone supposed to tell us?
What are they saying?
Said Big Mac. They're annoyed about the cemetery being sold. There's a story in the paper.
Hurry up, said William Stickers. I can't hold it much longer.
The newspaper sagged. Then it fell through his hands and landed on the path.
Not as alive as I was, he said.
Definitely a freak whirlwind, said Yolis. I've heard about them. Nothing supernatural.
This is our home, boomed the alderman. What will happen to us, young man?
Just a minute, said Johnny. Hold on. Yolis?
Yes?
They want to know what happens to people in graveyards if they get built on.
The dead want to know that?
Yes, said the alderman and Johnny at the same time.
I bet Michael Jackson didn't do this, said Big Mac.
I saw this film, gabbled Wobbler, where these houses were built on an old graveyard and someone dug a swimming pool and all these skeletons came out and tried to strangle people.
Why? Said the alderman.
He wants to know why, said Johnny.
Search me, said Wobbler. I think, said Yolis uncertainly, that the coffins and that get dug up and put somewhere else. I think there's special places.
I'm not standing for that, said dead Mrs. Sylvia Liberty. I paid £5.7/6 for my plot. I remember the document distinctly. Last resting place, it said. It didn't say, after 80 years, you'll be dug up and moved just so the living can build... What did it say? Modern purpose-designed offices, said William Stickers. Whatever they are.
I think it means they were designed on purpose, said Johnny.
And how shameful to be sold for 5 pence, said dead Mrs. Liberty. That's the living for you, said William Stickers. No thought for the downtrodden masses.
Well, you see, said Johnny wretchedly, the council says it cost too much to keep up, and the land was worth...
And what's this here about Blackberry Municipal Authority, said the alderman. What happened to Blackberry City Council?
I don't know, said Johnny. I've never heard of it. Look, it's not my fault. I like this place too. I was only saying to Wobbler I didn't like what's happening.
So what are you going to do about it?
Said the alderman. Johnny backed away, but came up against Mr. Vicente's Rolls-Royce of a grave.
Oh, no, he said. Not me. It's not up to me.
I don't see why not, said dead Mrs. Sylvia Liberty. After all, you can see and hear us.
No one else takes any notice, said Mr. Vigenti.
We've been trying all day, said the alderman. People walking their dogs. They just hurry away, said William Stickers.
Not even old Mrs. Thatchen, said Mr. Vigenti.
And she's mad, said the alderman. Poor soul.
So there's only you, said William Stickers. So you must go and tell this municipal whatever it is that we aren't going to move.
They won't listen to me. I'm 12. I can't even vote.
Yes, but we can, said the alderman.
Can we? Said Mr. Vigenti.
The dead clustered around him like an American football team.
We're still over 21, aren't we? I mean, technically.
Yes, but we're dead, said Mr. Vigenti in a reasonable tone of voice. You can vote at 18 now, said Johnny.
No wonder people have no respect, said the alderman. I said the rot had set in if they gave the vote to women.
Mrs. Liberty glared at him.
Anyway, you can't use a dead person's vote, said William Stickers. It's called personation. I stood as Revolutionary Solidarity Fraternal Workers' Party candidate. I know about this sort of thing.
I'm not proposing to let anyone use my vote, said the alderman. I want to use it myself. No law against that.
Good point.
I served this city faithfully for more than 50 years, said the alderman. I do not see why I should lose my vote just because I'm dead. Democracy, that's the point.
People's democracy, said William Stickers.
The dead fell silent.
Well, said Johnny miserably, I'll see what I can do.
Good man, said the alderman. And we'd also like a paper delivered every day.
No, no, Mr. Vicente shook his head. It's so hard to turn the pages.
Well, we must know what is happening, said Mrs. Liberty. There's no telling what the living are getting up to out there while our backs are turned.
I'll think of something, said Johnny. Something better than newspapers.
Right, said William Stickers. And then you get along to these council people and tell them we're not going to take this lying down, shouted the alderman.
Yes, right, said Johnny.
And the dead faded. Again there was the sensation of travelling, as if the dead people were going back into a different world.
Have they God? Said Wobbler. Not that they were here, said Yolus, the scientific thinker. They were here, and they've gone, said Johnny.
It definitely felt a bit weird, said Big Mac.
Very cold. Let's get out of here, said Johnny. I need to think. They want me to stop this place being built on.
How?
Johnny led the way quickly towards the gates.
Huh, they've left it up to me.
We'll help, said Yolus promptly.
Will we? Said Wobbler. I mean, Johnny's okay, but I mean, it's meddling with the occult, and your mum will go spare.
Yes, but if it's true, then it's helping Christian souls, said Yolus. That's all right. They are Christian souls, aren't they?
I think there's a Jewish part of the cemetery, said Johnny.
That's all right. Jewish is the same as Christian, said Big Mac.
Not exactly, said Yolus very carefully, but similar.
Yeah, but, said Wobbler awkwardly, I mean, dead people and that. I mean, he can see them, so it's up to him. I mean,
we all supported Big Mac when he was in juvenile court, didn't we?
Said Yolus.
You said he was going to get hung, said Wobbler. And I spent all morning doing that Free the Blackberry One poster.
It was a political crime, said Big Mac.
You stole the Minister of Education's car when he was opening the school, said Yolus.
It wasn't stealing. I meant to give it back, said Big Mac.
You drove it into a wall. You couldn't even give it back on a shovel.
Oh, so it's my fault the brakes were faulty. I could have got badly hurt, right? I noticed no one worried about that. It was basically his fault, leaving cars around with knotty locks and bad brakes. I bet he doesn't have to repair his own brakes. It's society's fault, then.
Anyway, said Yolus, we were behind you that time, right?
Wouldn't like to be in front of him, said Wobbler.
and we were right behind Wobbler when he got into trouble for complaining to the record shop about the messages from God he heard when he played Cliff Richard records backwards.
You said you heard it too, said Wobbler.
Hey, you said you heard it.
Only after you told me what it was, said Yolas. Before you told me what I was listening for, it just sounded like someone going, a-yeep, a-yeep, whoop, a-yeep.
But according to Wobbler, it was really,
hey, kids, go to school and get a good education. Listen to your parents. It's cool to go to church.
They shouldn't do that sort of thing on records, said Wobbler defensively. Get in at impressionable minds.
The point I'm making, said Yolas, is that you've got to help your friends, right?
He turned to Johnny.
Now, personally, I think you're very nearly totally disturbed and suffering from psychosomatica and hearing voices and seeing delusions, he said, and probably ought to be locked up in one of those white jackets with the stylish long sleeves. But that doesn't matter, because we're friends.
I'm touched, said Johnny.
Probably, said Wobbler, but we don't care, do we, guys?
His mother was out at her second job. Grandad was watching Video Whoopsie. Grandad?
Yes?
How famous was William Stickers?
Very famous. Very famous man, said the old man without looking around.
I can't find him in the encyclopedia.
Very famous man was William Stickers. Look, the man's just fallen off his bicycle. Right into the bush.
Johnny took down the volume L to Min and was silent for a few minutes. Grandad had a complete set of huge encyclopedias. No one really knew why. Somewhere in 1950 or something, Grandad had said to himself, get educated, and had bought the massive books on hire purchase. He'd never opened them. He just built a bookcase for them. Grandad was superstitious about books. He thought that if you had enough of them around, education leaked out like radioactivity.
How about Mrs. Sylvia Liberty?
Who's she?
She was a suffragette, I think.
Votes for women and things. Never heard of her.
She's not in here under Liberty or suffragette.
Never heard of her. Whoa, look here! The cat's fallen in the pond!
All right, how about Mr. Antonio Vicenti?
What? Old Tony Vicenti? What's he up to now?
Was he famous for anything? For a moment, Grandad's eyes left the TV screen and focused on the past instead.
He ran a joke shop in Alma Street, where the multi-story car park is now. You could buy stink bombs and itchy powder. And he used to do conjuring tricks at kids' parties when your mum was a girl.
Was he a famous man?
All the kids knew him. Only children's entertainer in these parts, see? They all knew his tricks. They used to shout out, "It's in your pocket," and things like that. Alma Street and Paradise Street, that was there too. And Balaclava Terrace. That's where I was born. Number 12 Balaclava Terrace. All under the car park now. Oh dear, he's going to fall off that building.
So he wasn't really famous. Not like really famous.
All the kids knew him. Prisoner of war in Germany he was. But he escaped. And he married Ethel Plover. That's right. Never had any kids. He used to do conjuring tricks and escaping from things. Always escaping from things, he was.
He wore a carnation pinned to his coat, said Johnny.
That's right. Every day. Never saw him without one. Always very smart, he was. He used to be a conjurer. Haven't seen him around for years.
Grandad?
It's all changed around here now. I hardly see anywhere I recognise when I go into town these days. Someone told me they pulled down the old boot factory.
You know that little transistor radio, said Johnny.
What little transistor radio?
The one you've got.
What about it?
You said it's too fiddly, not loud enough.
That's right.
Can I have it?
I thought you got one of those ghetto blowers.
This is for some friends.
Johnny hesitated. He was by nature an honest person, because apart from anything else, lying was always too complicated.
They're quite old, he added, and a bit shut in.
Oh, all right. You'll have to put some new batteries in. The old ones have gone all manky.
I've got some batteries.
You don't get proper wireless anymore. You used to get oscillation when I was a boy. You never get it now,
There he goes. Look, right through the ice.
Johnny went down to the cemetery before breakfast. The gates had been locked, but since there were holes all along the walls, this didn't make a lot of difference. He'd bought a plastic bag for the radio and had sorted out some new batteries after scraping out the chemical porridge that was all that was left of the old ones. The cemetery was deserted. There wasn't a soul there, living or dead. But there was the silence, the big, empty silence. If ears could make a noise, they'd sound like that silence. Johnny tried to fill it. He said.
Anyone there?
A fox leapt up from behind one of the stones and scurried away into the undergrowth.
Hello? It's me.
The absence of the dead was scarier than seeing them in the flesh, or at least not in the flesh.
I brought this radio. It's probably easier for you than newspapers. I looked up radio in the encyclopedia, and most of you ought to know what it is. You twiddle the knobs, and radio comes out. So I'll just tuck it down behind Mr. Vicente's slab, all right? Then you can find out what's going on.
He coughed. I did some thinking last night, and I thought maybe if people knew about all the famous people here, they'd be bound to leave it alone.
I know it's not a very good idea, he said hopelessly, but it's the best I could come up with. I'm going to make a list of names, if you don't mind.
He hoped Mr. Vicente would be about. He quite liked him. Perhaps it was because he hadn't been dead as long as the others. He seemed friendlier, less stiff. Johnny walked from gravestone to gravestone, noting down names. Some of the older stones were quite ornate, with fat cherubs on them, but one had a pair of football boots carved on it. He made a special note of the name. Stanley Wrongway Roundway, 1892 to 1936, the last whistle. He nearly missed the one under the trees. It had a flat stone in the grass, without even one of the ugly flower vases, and all it declared was that this was the last resting place of Eric Grimm, 1885 to 1927. No just resting, no deeply missed, not even died, although probably he had. Johnny wrote the name down anyway. Mr. Grimm waited until after Johnny had gone before he emerged and glared after him.